Greetings and happy birthday to you, Tomato Surprise, and greetings to all listeners. This is Sugared Tomatoes for Friday, May 6th, 2011. And today we're going to do something a little bit different. It's about the same sort of format that Tomato did, just one long big talk on a single topic and what comes to mind about it. In actuality, I thought when we started Sugared Tomatoes, and back when it was just an idea in Tomato's brain and I was along for the ride not really knowing what it was going to be, that this is actually what the show was going to be, just us giving one question to discuss and then having the other answer and then do one of their own. I'm glad it's evolved more into something more than that, that we have different segments and such, although, of course, us keeping those segments has been less than perfect, but I'm glad that it's evolved into more than that, and that we've sort of brought the questioning in to the little bit of it as a segment on the show, but I also like the fact that we've been doing other things as well. But I thought it was very interesting the fact that you went and decided to do just your random thoughts for a single subject for about 20 minutes or so. And because of what happened this week and the fact that I haven't had time to do anything else, I thought I'd do the same thing. And it's interesting how this story has sort of, you know, brought your story out of the spotlight, but it's also kind of, again, focused. I think you can sort of connect it to this it in a way, so I'm gonna talk a little bit about Superman renouncing his citizenship and what it means, if anything, and I'm also going to talk a little bit about, as you've probably guessed, the death of Osama bin Laden and its aftermath. First, a little bit about Superman renouncing his citizenship. The thing that struck out to me is the fact that Superman has always represented sort of the good, I guess, the strength of people, but not necessarily American ones. I guess, perhaps, in a way he does, but in the same time he doesn't. Coincidentally, he happens to be red, white, and blue, which of course are American colors, but then again, if you think about it, they're also British colors and French colors, and other countries use the same colors. But the thing that struck me that a lot of people have pointed out is the fact that the famous phrase, truth, justice, and the American way, it wasn't always that. In the 1940s, when the phrase was first used during the Max Fleischer Superman cartoons, it was simply that Superman was fighting an ever-ending battle for truth and justice. In the 1950s, when the live-action black-and-white series with George Reeves premiered, that had been changed to Truth, Justice, and the American Way. Perhaps not surprisingly, and not coincidentally, not only had the United States just defeated the Axis in World War II, and Superman had sort of been used as a symbol of perhaps not just American strength, but Allied strength, the Soviet Union, of course, the big fear of the 1950s was the so-called Red Scare and the fear that there might be communists in our midst, and this was the sort of period where Americans were becoming very patriotic in order to differentiate themselves from the communists. The phrase, under God, was added to the Pledge of Allegiance in order to differentiate us from those godless communists, and I think the fact that the words the American way were added to Superman's mantra is sort of another example of that. And it got me thinking a bit of the idea of us versus them and how it's used a lot in patriotic sort of things, and the idea that, you know, we sort of vilify people that we don't understand, and I guess using Superman as a propaganda tool, sort of, during the 1940s and 50s is sort of a way we did that. During the 1940s, when we were fighting Germany and Japan, Germany was always satirized. If something was commenting on Germany, it was always the leaders that were poked fun of, the Hitler and Goebbels, and in Italy, Mussolini. But in Japan, we never talked about the political leaders that way. We just stereotyped the Japanese as these buck-toothed, yellow-skinned heathens who wanted to destroy America. And I think part of the reasoning of that is because of the fact that Germans and Italians have been sort of integrated into American society, but Japanese really hadn't been. Dr. Seuss had done a lot of funny cartoons during World War II that poked fun at Hitler and Mussolini and their ineptitude, but also shamefully he drew a number of cartoons which sort of helped perpetuate this idea of the Japanese as sort of different and wanting to take down the country as a whole rather than just the leaders wanting to do so. There's one cartoon that he drew depicting the Japanese on the West Coast, again, drawn in the sort of then traditional stereotype with the buck teeth and slanted eyes, getting bombs from the homeland in order to help destroy the country from within. And there's a legend that says this cartoon is partially responsible for the decision to intern the Japanese during the war, because there was actually a fear that, you know, this was actually going to happen, that the Japanese Americans were going to, you know, sort of work as they called them, fifth columnist, and help their homeland destroy America from the inside. Of course, is rather ridiculous, but people believed it back then, sadly. And I don't know if the same thing could be said for the Russians in the 1950s, I'm sure the Vietnamese definitely, when we fought them in the 60s and 70s, which is sort of the same thing. We feared that communism was going to encroach on the world. And even nowadays, some of us sort of vilify the Arabs as this sort of other people. And I think the fact that this sort of vilification, as George W. Bush himself put it shortly after 9/11, you're either with us or against us. And sadly, I think that's how some people work, how some people's minds work. They need an enemy. You know, we're the good guys and they're the bad guys. They expect everything to be, you know, like a comic book. The heroes are brightly colored and such. Well, not really, but, you know, even in their mind, the heroes have their own costumes. In this case, the military and their uniforms, and the bad guys have their swastika armbands or their turbans or what have you. But the world is not like that, and I think the fact that Superman has renounced his U.S. citizenship to become a citizen of the world is bringing Superman back to this representation of representing just truth and justice in the world as a whole, and not just in America. It's not just an American ideal, it's a world ideal, and thankfully, there are a lot of people who have come to realize this, but sadly, there are still those who sort of have that comic book mentality, the good guys versus the bad guys. And speaking of the good guys versus the bad guys, there has been an event in the news that you've no doubt heard about that certainly represents, I guess, the end of an era, although it does not mean the end of a lot of things. I think it certainly means the end of an era, and I think a lot of people in the American world and the Muslim world and the world as a whole can be proud of this, perhaps not rejoicing in the death, as many have, and I'm sad to admit, so did I at first. But I think that's sort of the stage we went through, but let's just set it up and then I'll get into my thoughts about it. As you are no doubt aware, on May 1st, President Barack Obama had announced that a U.S. Navy SEAL team, SEAL Team 6, had found and killed Osama bin Laden in a compound where he was apparently hiding out for a long time in Abbottabad, Pakistan. And even now, we're getting more information about exactly how everything went down, and a lot of people are talking about what the future holds. And I have some random thoughts on the subject. The first thing I want to talk about is bin Laden's death in the social media age. I think this is the really big event, the first really big event that got through the wires in social media. Well, the revolutions in Egypt and Libya and Tunisia certainly were also a part, but I don't think a lot of people took notice of them because of the fact that they were over in Africa and the Middle East, and although they are definitely important, perhaps a lot of people didn't realize that they were important or didn't care because, you know, again, that mentality of it's not us, but the I think this is the first big event that has sort of an American side to it and also a world side to it. So people from all over the world were interested in how this went down. It was very interesting to be on Twitter and Facebook to see how people were reacting, what's the president going to say, and then when it was being rumored that it was about bin Laden's death. Is it really about bin Laden's death? And once it was confirmed that it was, you know, how did he die? What does this mean and such? And even right now, as I record this, we're still getting new bits of information. So it's interesting to see how, from, say, 10 years ago, when I was in school and just learning about the fact that an airplane had hit the World Trade Center, which of course was perhaps bin Laden's mo and Al-Qaeda's most infamous and most legendary act, you know, I was. That's all I had to go on. There was the internet in that time, of course, but and if I was not in school, perhaps I would have searched for more information, but we wouldn't be able to get it at the fast speed that we do, the instantaneous speed we get thanks to Twitter and Facebook. So there are things like that. So it's interesting to see how the technology has changed in the 10-year time span between the destruction of the World Trade Center and the death of Osama bin Laden. Does it mean perhaps that there will be a end to traditional news media? At this point in time, I think it's helping to it's sort of supporting traditional news media, and that people still, including myself, still watched Obama's speech on television, and we reacted in real time to what happened, just as we do to something such as the Super Bowl or the Academy Awards in this Twitter age. And news organizations through Twitter and elsewhere are still giving updates on what's going on with bin Laden. So it's very interesting to see how this has been going from a social networking point. The other interesting thing that comes to mind is the idea of rumors and such, and the fact that with this speed, false information can be disseminated just as easily as real information, and perhaps for the worst part, and the fact that most people wish to believe, a lot of people wish to believe the stuff that isn't true, yet refusing to believe the stuff that is true. The big one of the big stories before bin Laden's death, along with Superman renouncing his citizenship and the royal wedding, is the fact that the White House had released Barack Obama's birth certificate in part to appease outspoken critics such as Donald Trump, who had gone on television to denounce the fact that this, despite the fact that people are willing to believe a few more spurious things, including there was a couple of Photoshop photos supposedly of bin Laden's death circulating around that some people have taken as legitimate. Even some people in Congress have been proudly showing off the photo, believing it to be the genuine article. And the more interesting thing that has been circulating is a spurious quote, which was supposedly spoken by Martin Luther King Jr., which says, "I mourn the loss of thousands of precious lives, but I will not rejoice in the death of one, not even an enemy," which is an interesting quote, but the fact is that Martin Luther King himself never said that. As some people have pointed out, given Martin Luther King's campaign, which was for tolerance and anti-prejudice, why would Martin Luther King say something like that? Who are the thousands of precious lives and the enemy that he is referring to? Martin Luther King talked a lot about loving your enemy, but it doesn't really make sense for him to say something like that. Well, we actually have a very interesting and logical explanation. The explanation has come out. It turns out that someone put this on their Facebook page without quotation marks, and then afterwards, in quotation marks, an actual quotation from Martin Luther King about how hate only breeds more hate and love only breeds more love. The exact quote is, "Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that." And the quotation marks somehow got put around the entire quotation, making it seem like he said the whole thing, and then just the first sentence came along in quotation marks, again falsely attributed to Dr. King. So it's interesting to see how someone's original words, because of the fact that there was a quotation next to them, can be transformed into the form of something entirely different, supposedly said by somebody else who never even said it. It's like an online version of the telephone game. So it's interesting to see how these rumors start and how they mutate into these new forms. And the other thing that makes me, the death of bin Laden makes me think about is what this means for the future, not only of terrorism, but of also the Afghanistan-Pakistan region. The death of Osama bin Laden obviously does not mean the end of terrorism, but it will be interesting to see, you know, is there some people believe the fact that this, combined with the revolutions in the Middle East that I talked about earlier, may, at least in some countries, call for make an end to terrorism come about, but in other countries, it's possible that it might continue. And the whole history of the Afghanistan-Pakistan region, I want to learn more about. I know a little about it and how it's tied with Osama bin Laden, the fact that he started as one of the freedom fighters, the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, fighting the Soviets in the 1980s. And of course, there's the fact that the United States actually gave funding and training through the CIA to some of the Mujahideen. There's some doubt as to whether or not Osama bin Laden was one of those people who was trained, because of the fact that he was a foreigner. I think he was a Saudi. He was not actually an Afghan. He was one of the foreign Arabs fighting alongside the Mujahideen. So it's still up into the up in the air whether or not he actually did receive CIA training and funding, but if it is the case, and there's a possibility that it might be, it wouldn't be the first time that, you know, the United States inadvertently helped someone who would eventually become their enemy. Like, there's that famous photograph of Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands in Iraq because the two countries were allies at one point before they became enemies. And the whole convoluted history of Afghanistan and Pakistan, the fact that the British Empire, when they founded the two countries, they didn't really care one way or another about the nationalities that lived within, so they created a boundary called the Durand Line between their British territory in India and their new buffer state that they had created in order to create a buffer between their possessions in Asia and the Russian ones, as the two of them were fighting to gobble up the continent. Eventually, when India gained its independence, the Muslim part of the countries became Pakistan, and to this day, you know, there's still territorial disputes between Pakistan and India and Pakistan and Afghanistan. And there's also the fact that the northern regions of Pakistan, the government can't even control, so they're hotbeds for terrorism. And then there's the whole controversy about whether or not, you know, Pakistan is helping the terrorists and Al-Qaeda, and whether or not they actually knew where bin Laden was. Again, that's one of those questions that can't really be answered, but it's, you know, but it's a very interesting question. You know, what is the future of this region? Are the governments there helping the terrorists or not? There are all sorts of questions that can't really be answered, but hopefully the answers, if they come, hopefully they will be peaceful ones, but hopefully, if not, hopefully there will be people who are vigilant enough to, again, help stop these terrorists wherever they may be. It will probably be a never-ending battle, unfortunately, but hopefully there will be these people in the future, like the revolutionaries in the Middle East, that are more peaceful than warmongering, and realized through justice people such as Martin Luther King did, that that sometimes the pen is mightier than the sword, and perhaps that, much like Superman, that freedom is a gift if you really want it, a gift to the whole world, and not just if you're American or Egyptian or Iranian or Pakistani or whatever you may be. There's a whole lot of questions about this crazy world we live in, and the death of Osama bin Laden only brings them up to the forefront. But hopefully this new generation, the same generation that used Twitter to help take down Hosni Mubarak and react with pride, with joking, and I think perhaps most of all with relief that, in a sense, the 9/11 era is over, for better or for worse, with the death of Osama bin Laden. Hopefully this new generation can work together and bring about a world that is perhaps not entirely peaceful, but hopefully more so. And with Osama bin Laden dead and gone, the only question we have now is, what will the future hold for Pakistan, for Al-Qaeda, for the United States, for the social networking sphere, for the news media, and for the world? Unfortunately, just like we did on 9/11, and just like we did on May 2nd, all we can do is watch and wait, and hopefully I'll be there with you, and hopefully, whatever it is, it will be good. I hope you enjoyed this special episode of Sugared Tomatoes. As always, you can leave your feedback on the blog itself, and you can also email your comments and questions and contributions at sugaredtomatoes@gmail.com. Follow us online at Twitter at Sugared Tomatoes, and follow us individually at RWMead and at Tomato Surprise. Have a good night, and courage.